The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler, 710 KNUS. Let me tell you sort of where we've been so far this morning and what I'd like to continue to talk about here. We talked about early on in the 6 o'clock hour, the Center for Disease Control. You've heard of them, CDC. They're the ones that made a mess of the pandemic response. They've admitted they made a mess of the pandemic response. And Rochelle Walensky, who I believe is in charge of CDC for the moment, has come out and said, we admit it. We screwed a whole bunch of things up. There are some things that they had revealed through a review that was done. And at least the story that has been written so far, the stories that have come out were largely that they believe that they screwed up on messaging. Now, there are probably some substantive things as well, but largely this was a we didn't message this well. We didn't do a good job of explaining something more than just we follow the science and we trust the science. We talked about that a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour, and I'm happy to entertain that with you. We did spend the last little bit of time outside of a great interview with Eric Odlin, Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District. We have been talking about this affidavit that is may or may not, I predict may not, will not be released today by Magistrate Bruce Reinhart out of Florida. He is the magistrate who signed, maybe to his chagrin, the warrant authorizing the search of President Trump's mansion out there at Mar-a-Lago. And the question was, should this thing be released today? Now, I've had texters say yes, yes, yes. Nobody has told me why it needs to be released today. Not a single caller, not a single texter. Well, that's not true. There was one texter that suggested that the timing of it matters because of the midterms. That's probably the one. But I've heard no other justification for why the affidavit needs to be released today. Now, since we've been on the air, there's also been breaking news. There's a guy named Alan Weisselberg. Alan Weisselberg was the chief financial officer for all things Trump, like the giant Trump organization. He, as expected, pleaded guilty in a giant tax scheme. And the speculation is that this is now going to make him a government witness, that the only way they would have agreed to a plea bargain that would have spared this guy from the sentences that would have flowed out of the 15 felonies with which he was charged, and by the way, he's pleaded guilty to all of them, was for him to turn, I'm going to use a phrase here, state's evidence, or to become a cooperating witness. Now, does that mean that this guy is going to then turn against Trump himself or has information to give up against Trump himself? I don't know. I don't know. But does it matter? I mean, is it enough that the organization appears to have been led, at least at the financial level, by someone who's corrupt and now going to be a convicted felon? Now, part of this is that it says right here, under the terms of the plea deal, Weisselberg, who was facing up to 15 years in prison, and for a dude his age, that's a big one. He's agreed to serve 5 months in prison and a whole bunch of years of probation. And with time credited for good behavior, he's ultimately going to only serve about 100 days behind bars. That means he'll be home for Christmas. He's got to pay up to $2 million in taxes, penalties, and interest. He must also testify as a prosecution witness at the forthcoming trial for the Trump Organization. Interesting. What does this mean? Now, I get it. There's going to be a bunch of folks who are out there who are saying, listen, this was all just part of the broader government conspiracy to bring down Trump, and they're going to keep picking at people in his orbit until they can find someone that can give the goods up on the DJT. I think there's some truth to that, by the way. I do think that there are those who are out there motivated to get the president. That doesn't really change the fact that this dude, who was like one of the top guys, one of the top two or three guys at the Trump Organization, has just admitted to committing 15 separate felonies and has agreed to give up information on the Trump Organization. Where is this going? Where does this end up? I mean, is this just about the Trump Organization? And think about it in these terms. What if there was the Biden Organization? Let's just call it the Biden Organization. and they were able to bring down the CFO of the Biden organization. Wouldn't the natural conclusion be this has something to do with Joe Biden himself, not just the organization that bears his name? Isn't that what we'd be thinking? Isn't that what we'd be arguing? Wouldn't we be saying, that's it, there's got to be a connection, got to be, what do you think, is there a connection here between the DJT and the Trump organization? Or wait, let me get this straight. There's going to be those that say, George, why can't you presume him innocent? How can you jump to such conclusions? I agree. I don't presume that he's guilty of anything. But that's the same logic that needs to be applied to the affidavit, to the quote-unquote murder of Jeffrey Epstein. There are folks who are willing to jump across the Grand Canyon of facts to get to the other side where they want to be. But when it comes to something that touches someone that they like the president, it's like, well, you can't jump to that conclusion. Just because the CFO of his organization, probably someone with whom he's on a first name basis and has shared social settings, they've been to Mar-a-Lago, I presume, millions of times. Just because that person pleads guilty to 15 different felonies, that doesn't mean there's any implication for the president himself. And I agree. But is it wrong to speculate that it could? Because that's what we're doing with all this other stuff. 303-696-1971. This is a guy, by the way, who took more than $1.7 million in off-the-books compensation from the Trump organization as probably a deal to skirt having to pay taxes on it, like his $1,000 a month New York City palatial estate, or I'm sorry, it's probably just an apartment or something like that. This was one of Trump's most loyal business associates. That is so interesting. So interesting. But we'll see where it goes from here. Very, very concerning, I think, if you're a Trump loyalist, to wonder, is this going to be another brick taken out of the Django wall that holds up the president? I don't know. I sure hope not. I don't want this to be the end. I don't want that to be how this thing folds up. But here's a guy that's getting closer and closer to that inner circle. And I know the speculation about the affidavit on the search warrant is it will reveal to us who the disloyal mole is on the inside. I think that could be true. That's why it should not be released. If there is a mole on the inside revealing information about what the president is doing, yay. If you're the government, yay. Because you want to know what crimes are being committed, and we want to know if there are no crimes being committed. And if the mole can't come up with anything good, we'd want to know that. And we can go there, see. But there's no right to know who's being disloyal to you in your organization, especially if they're giving up some state's evidence there. I will tell you that some of the folks out there, this was another one. Remember that when Brian said, oh, Brockler's gullible, you'll believe. And again, I'm using that voice again, Vlad. Yes, because I am disrespectful of this opinion. You are gullible. Well, here's one. There's one email that I got amongst the billions of others that are like, Brockler is Pollyannish. He's Pollyannish about government and thinks that everything they do is okay. You've never, ever heard me say anything even in the zip code of such a ridiculous comment. In fact, I'm hugely skeptical of the government. I've said this as district attorney. I'm skeptical of me in this position, and I want the public to scrutinize the hell out of the things I do. That's what you've said. That's what you've heard me say. I've never once said cops are flawless. Hell, our office prosecuted over 30 of them when I was district attorney. But this is the conclusion that folks want to draw when they want to work backwards. You don't believe this, therefore you are this, and I'll work my way back to try to prove it. That's just not common sense. That's not critical thinking. In fact, it's the opposite of critical thinking. It's just, I got an outcome. Whatever it takes to get there, I'm going to get there. That's not me. I'm a process-driven guy. And you know who else is? America. America is process-driven. We don't have an end justifies the means approach to government, to criminal justice, to anything. If we did, we can just throw out the Constitution. We don't need that. But we don't do that. So I appreciate being Pollyannish, being gullible, using voices to discredit the opinions that I truly find lack any credibility. And that's the only ones I use them for. Vlad, I haven't used the voice to discredit you because I really appreciate the guts it took to call in and say, hey, man, the voice thing, it bothers me. You're right. I get it. It does. I don't know that I can stop doing it. But I do want to have the conversation here at 303-696-1971 about these different topics related to Trump. Should we release the affidavit? We're going to get to know, and for sure we're going to talk about it tomorrow. But also, the CFO guy pleads guilty, agrees to give state's evidence, agrees to be a cooperating witness. Where does this take us? Bill, you're on 710 KNUS.
Hey, George. Hey, I just want to tell you, I appreciate your reasoned approach to things in general, unlike, you know, the echo chamber that's out there everywhere. It gets a little old. But, you know, Peter used to talk about something, and it's very true, the difference between knowing and believing. And there's these people you've been talking to, Phil Earle, I forget his name. He was clearly assuming that his suspicions and his assumptions and his accusations constituted evidence and facts. And they don't. And there's a whole mindset in this world like that. The Taliban is like that. Can you imagine if you're accused of something in Afghanistan? You're guilty by accusation. And it's just a lot of people that share that mentality and don't understand the difference between their strongly held beliefs and facts. And that's what you're dealing with these people.
Well, first let me get to the point about the affidavit. Do you want to see the affidavit released today? If not, why not?
You know, I'm not very versed in these things, but from what I understand, what they're saying, the affidavit is going to point, give away, show their hand. And I know if it was a mafia case or a national security case against a foreign agent or something, no, I would not want that. I want them to keep that and release it when the time is right. I could see why the accused person, if that's true, the accused person will want them to release. They will want them to show their hand, show where they're going, and weaken their ability to prosecute. So I would say, no, let's just hang on. What's the rush? Why do you need to have it now?
What do you read into, if anything, this plea of guilty by the CFO of the Trump Organization to these 15 felonies, $2 million in fines and fees and whatever, and the going to jail thing?
Yeah, that made me wonder, you know, at what point do we get into RICO territory here and start really rounding up the bad guys? Nothing happened in the Trump Organization without him knowing it. Okay, I think that's probably a pretty fair statement. If this guy was doing that, he was doing it with Trump's knowledge, and I would have to say complicity, you know?
Well, that is so interesting, Bill, because in some ways it feels like we're getting closer to what the other side would say, and that is they want to presume some government conspiracy based on not even XYZ, but X and another shape that could be a Y, it could be a W, we don't know. It doesn't matter because it gets us to our conclusion. I, like you, want to say I think it is likely that whatever was going on in the Trump Organization was known by the president, but I can't get to saying dude's good for it. We ought to be targeting him over it because of that belief, because I want the facts. And for those folks that are out there texting and they're like, use your common sense. There it is. I did the voice, Vlad. God bless it. Or where there's smoke, there's for sure arson. I did it again. Think about this. What are the conclusions? Like, Bill, isn't Bill using common sense to say, I think it's unlikely, given his personality and his past and the way he's run his companies, that anything could go on at this level without him knowing? That sounds like a fair conclusion to me.
Yeah, that's a reasonable suspicion. It's a basis to proceed and to take a look. If they didn't take a look at that point, they'd be missing their duties. You know, I think it's just obvious. Again, how did they get people like John Gotti? Okay, they didn't get him directly. They worked their way up the ladder. And they were able to get him. Now, they could have worked their way up the ladder and found out he was a choir boy, but it didn't work out that way.
And my guess is at some point along the way, they would get a sense whether that's true or not. Like, my guess is of all the cases that get run down to the very end and they realize they don't have enough to pursue, that's a small, small minority of them. Most of them, they probably have a hunch, they have a gut instinct, they have a piece of evidence, they don't know if it's legit. They start running down the field and then pretty quickly realize this is going nowhere. And then they shift fire and move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, the behavior of a corrupt organization, they're pretty much all the same in that it goes through multiple layers. It flows from the top down, and all you have to do is work your way backwards. But, you know, I don't have any conclusions. I'm not going to say Trump is definitely guilty of this, that, or the other thing. I doubt he ever filed a non-felonious tax return, but I don't know that. You know, but I think that they should they'd be remiss if they didn't look into it very deeply. I said,
got to look into it. Bill, hey, thank you for that phone call. Have a great rest of your day. Bill's line is open, 303-696-1971. Here's a couple texts so related to this morning, but not so much the topic. Here's one. I love the voices, all caps, followed by, yes, I used capitals. Here's one. I don't agree with Vlad at all. I'm amazed at your patience with some of the nuts that call. The two Brians almost gave me a stroke. Other listeners just need a little comic relief after listening to some of these nuts. I wish the first Brian would listen to the podcast to learn about using facts before reaching a conclusion, but he's probably, people need to think twice before taking you on. Love it, George. Keep on doing what you're doing. That was Judy. That was very nice. I wish I could say every single listener agreed with that. But the one thing that you put in there that causes me just a hair of concern is people need to think twice before taking you on. I just don't want people who would otherwise be motivated to want to share their opinion with us not call in because they feel like they're not going to get a fair shake. You will get a fair shake, but it will not be an easy shake. We're not going to hug it out on the phone here if your goal is to, one, just name call, label, dismiss, accuse, the Rhino establishment stuff. You can save all that for text or email. If you call in, though, let's have a legitimate discussion like we had with Vlad, like we've had with Bill, and even the second Brian. That I don't agree with Brian on those things. But Brian is a rational, reasonable, critical thinker. He just disagrees with the conclusions I'm not willing to jump to. I get it, but let's have those conversations. I worry that we're rapidly approaching a point where people are like, I'm not going to win, therefore I'm not going to call. That's not the point. The point isn't about winning, okay? I've been told, hey, you should dominate. I don't want to dominate. I don't want to do that. I want my dad to feel comfortable to call. I want you, your dad, your mom, your sister, your daughter, I want anybody to feel comfortable to call to say, here are my thoughts. Or here's why I disagree with you, George. 303-696-1971 is the phone number. It shouldn't be like your perception of going to the dentist. And speaking of going to the dentist, it's that time of the show where we talk about the bestest dentists out there. Those are our friends, Doctors Richter and Snyder at Twin Aspen Dental Center. Obviously, their goal is to provide the best oral health care, for you and your family. And the best way to do that is to tackle all those dental issues before they become the big time stuff. Now, yes, they do the crowns and the bridges and the dental implants and all that other big time stuff, but they'd love to never have to get there. And the way they do that is you come in on a regular basis. And I think everybody, as long as I've been alive, is recommended twice a year. And that's exactly what I do, and tackle that proactive preventative care stuff. And that's what they'll help with. The deep cleaning, if you're freaked out about it, they'll do the sedation dentistry. They're wizards at that as well. So go ahead and take that first step towards keeping your great smile and maybe even getting a better smile. Schedule your appointment with them today. I already scheduled mine. I'm going in next month. I'll tell you how it is. In fact, I really do. If Kelly's listening, I want to see if we can do a remote from Twin Aspen Dental in the chair. I won't be sedated, but we will do the whole, I wonder if that's good radio or not, or if that's just, it'll be hard to do the show with picks and stuff in my mouth. But nonetheless, I still think it'd be great radio, and we want to get them back in the studio to talk about strangest thing you pulled out of someone's mouth in the last quarter. Twin Aspen Dental Center's brand new office located at Stroh Road, just near Lehman Academy, right by Parker Road. So easy to get to. Visit TwinAspenDentalCenter.com or call them at 303-841-7466. That's TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, 303-841-7466. Texts, emails, calls. After this, George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Just a couple segments left in the show before we cut loose and give it to Charlie Kirk, who will then hand it off to a guy named Hugh and then another dude named Gorka, and then back to Live and Local at 3 o'clock with Stephen Tubbs. Taste of Douglas County today down near the Events Center, right off of Plum Creek there, if you just go east from I-25. Get down there, but here's the deal. Go online and try to get the $10 tickets first so you don't pay $20 at the door. Mike Boyle, of course, will be down there rocking it, and I don't know how that guy stays so thin, by the way, given all the food stuff that he does, but he is ridiculously lean. Maybe it's by eating more. I'll have to give that a shot. 303-696-1971. Those are our numbers. These are our callers. Harold, you're on the George Show. What do you think, Harold?
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir?
You know, you're talking about the Constitution and stuff.
I've heard of it, yeah.
And how important it is.
I agree.
Okay. Well, now, how about when General Milley talked to the communist Chinese leader of their defense and said, don't worry about anything that Trump's going to do. And he told all his underlings to listen to him and not the president. Now, what would happen if you did that? You're in the service and you told your guys, don't listen to General Milley. Well, I mean, can you explain this on the Constitution-wise?
Yeah, I think this is less about the Constitution than it is about the chain of command and the subservience of the military to civilian control. And if that's what you mean, like Article 2 makes the president the commander-in-chief, then okay, I get it. But if I were to do something like that, which is just slightly different than Milley doing it because he answers to the civilian. And by the way, as the remember, too, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, but Trump was a civilian, right? Trump was a civilian.
Of course. Let me finish, though.
As and he's in charge. He's the commander-in-chief.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. So
how do you go against your commander in chief?
No, I don't think you can.
And it hasn't been investigated or anything.
No, Harold, I'm trying to get to the answer here. It's different for Milley responding to the president than it is me responding to Milley in this way. I am not in General Milley's chain of command. As the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he is not in my chain of command, and he never will be. From that position.
Okay.
But the president is...
How about the guy that's in your command?
Hold on, man.
How about the guy that commands
Harold,
you?
Harold, we'll get there.
And you go against
Harold,
him.
Harold. But the president is in General Milley's chain of command. And so when the president gives an order, it carries the force of law. And it should not, could not, and would not be undermined if everything was working correctly. If I were to do that, if the adjutant general... told me to do something or were to give out an order and I were to undermine that order with the folks in her chain of command, I would probably be relieved. I would probably be given a GOMAR, which is a general order memorandum of reprimand, and I'd probably be giving what's called a referred OER, officer evaluation report, that ended my career. That's what would happen. Now, in that case,
okay.
I do not like the idea that the chairman of the... Well, there's a whole bunch.
What's the difference between you and Milley? Harold,
my God,
give
man.
Give me an answer.
What do you think the words coming
give
out of my
answer.
Mouth are?
What's the difference between you and Milley and the service being controlled, the paramilitary?
You got to let me give the whole answer, buddy. A sentence isn't an answer. Let me give the whole answer.
Okay, go ahead. I mean, that's what you do to everybody, too, so.
Yeah, remember, Harold, I'll finish this without you. That's the big difference between you and I, Harold, is that I've got control of the buttons on the phone. To answer Harold's question, and thanks for calling in, Harold. I appreciate it. Great conversation. I don't like that General Milley called the CHICOMs and undercut the president's message. Whatever his motives were, I disagree with them being expressed in that way. Anything he does to subvert what the president is doing on a national security or national policy level, that is outside of his zip code for authority. I don't agree with it. Now, if this was something that was coordinated, that's like, hey, bad cop, good cop, or something like that, great. But I don't think it's the business of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to go in and undersell the message that the president is putting out there, no matter what he thinks the best interests of the country are. If he's concerned, I think he goes to the president and say, Mr. President, I think there's growing concern about this. Here's what I'd like to do. What I'd like to do is place a phone call to the Chinese under the guise of doing this, that, and the other, and reassure them that you're not about to push the button. That makes sense to me. But to do it on his own looks like he's undercutting the president, and I don't like it, and it's not appropriate. Harold, that's the answer to your question. 303-696-1971. Lewis, you're on the George Show. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, George, good morning. Listen, I got three things. One, let me ask you this. The whistleblowers of the FBI that came forward, do you believe what they're saying when they said the upper echelons of the FBI want to purge conservative FBI agents? Did you believe that?
No.
Okay, then I'll put that aside. The affidavit, okay, you know, there's been a lot of suspicion now on the FBI and the DOJ. If they release with redacted situations in that affidavit, wouldn't that help eliminate the amount of suspicion on the FBI and the DOJ if they released it and they can say, look, here. Now, the second thing I want to say is, okay, if they don't bring up any charges, then that affidavit will remain silent, correct?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. That's a great question. I don't know. I think if the end result of this is, hey, we're not bringing any charges, we don't have anything prosecutable, then I think they ought to release the affidavit. But that's a foregone conclusion if they charge him, right? Then the affidavit has to go to the other side, even if the court puts an order in place. I think we're pretty sure it's going to become public at some point. But you're right to ask, if they don't charge, what happens to it? I would push for them to release it at that point.
Okay, but they would have the option to say, no, we don't have to release it. We're not charging any, bringing any charges in that. But that then that would really elevate the suspicion on the FBI and DOJ and say, oh, hold on a second. You didn't charge him. Why don't you just go ahead and release it so we can see why you went in there?
I agree. I think that there are some circumstances, and I've seen these, where there's information contained in the affidavit which gives them thoughts on pursuing a certain thing that doesn't work out. But to expose that entire, like the witness or the source of it, might jeopardize other investigations. Now, that's legit, and I don't want the FBI or the DOJ to get to make that decision on their own. That should be scrutinized by a judge. A judge should be able to sit there and say, it doesn't hold water. I don't agree. We're going to do this. But there are reasons to keep it suppressed.
But they can redact all that stuff that would expose, you know, whoever leaked the information for the DOJ and FBI to go in there. They could redact that.
Yeah, they could. But here's what I would
tell us why.
Yeah, I would bet if the DOJ were told, hey, come back with a redacted copy. And I've seen these too, man. Even on CORA requests, Colorado Open Records Act requests, there are so many redactions. You can't discern a single fact out of it. Like it's a couple words, a prepositional phrase, a period. And then everything is blacked out. That's what I'll bet you they would do. And that, too, has to be scrutinized by a judge who sits there and goes, nope, I want to see the unredacted piece. I want to know why you are blocking this out from the public review. But Lewis, for purposes of this conversation, do you need to have that affidavit released today, or can it be just released down the road?
Well, I would say you can release it down the road, but because of the high level of suspicion on the FBI and the DOJ, I mean, the longer they hold on to it and don't release any, whether redacted or not, people in this country are going to say, forget you. I don't believe a word you FBI agents are doing. And not really the line staff, but the higher anarchy, I mean, higher levels. And look at what happened with the Russian, the dossier, and all that.
Yep, yep.
People are already saying, my goodness, you're supposed to be the best law enforcement agency in our country, and this is what you're doing to us?
Yeah, great reason for skepticism. Lewis, there's great reason for skepticism, but I don't think that skepticism then says we're not going to have anything sealed for legitimate investigatory reasons. And my guess is if they released every bit of information they had, uncorroborated, unchecked, untested, it could be very damning and salaciously so towards not just the president, but other people. That can't be our goal, right? Like, I want transparency. I am skeptical of what the FBI does in part because of what took place with Russiagate and McCabe and Strzok and all the others, and even Comey to some extent. I don't think that means we just say, hey, everything you do now has to be immediately turned over to the public, or we're going to hate you and not trust you.
Okay, let me go back to the first point. You don't believe the whistleblowers?
Well, I don't know to believe them or not believe them. It's not me to just pick either or. I'd love to hear more of the information that they have and the reasons for their conclusions. Yeah, but it makes me concerned when people come out and say, hey, this is the information I have, and it makes me think that the FBI is doing this. But you asked me to conclude based off of that this is an organization that is led top to bottom by folks who want to purge the FBI of conservatives. I know a ton of conservatives who are FBI agents.
Right. Okay. All right. All right, I would just, you know, because Grassley and I forgot who the other senator said that, you know, this is what we've gotten from the whistleblowers because, you know, the Democrats jumped on the whistleblowers against Trump. They said, oh, we believe them, just like with Kavanaugh and Ford. Oh, you got to believe her.
Yeah, I think that was what happened to Kavanaugh was ridiculous. It was unfair, and it's not anything they can undo, and they know that. They have tainted that guy and his legacy with that garbage. I agree with you. But here's the position I'm coming from, man, and that is – and it's not just our side. It's just not the far right or the Trumpers or whatever. there is a willingness, a growing willingness by Americans to simply conclude what they want to conclude, to believe what they want to believe, and then work backwards to try to find the evidence that supports it. That can't be healthy for us, right? Like, I have an open skepticism regarding all the things these people who have jumped to the conclusion that the FBI is corrupt to its core. They planted evidence. They did all of these things. They turned off the cameras for all of these things. Okay, I have skepticism. I want to know more about it. But they've already gotten into the end zone, man. They've already gotten from the 10-yard line on their side all the way into the end zone and said, now we know what happened. Disprove it. That's not America.
But isn't that what Democrats do?
Yes.
They justify the mean.
100%. That's what those on the left do, too. And we should call it out where we see it.
That's right. Amen.
Lewis, thanks for the great phone call, man. I really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day. I want to tell you about our buddies at Littleton Fine Jewelry. And the reason why is this. We are getting ever so close to big holidays. Now, I think my dad listens to this. Dad, I'm not promising you a rose garden or a piece of jewelry. But if I were going to get a custom piece of jewelry for your 80th birthday, which is coming up next month, I would go to Littleton Fine Jewelry. Now, I am looking down the road at Christmas because that's the big one, right? Like, you tend to spend more on an anniversary or a Christmas. Maybe President's Day. I'm kidding. Not President's Day, but a birthday. If you have one of those special holidays coming up, you're starting to put some money in your pocket and think, what is the most bestest, uniquest thing I can get someone to tell them how much they mean to me, how special they are to me, something they might even love so much they pass it along to that next generation. It's going to Littleton Fine Jewelry that'll help you get that done. These guys do the custom stuff the way nobody else does. The big box stores, they serve a purpose, but not like our local buddies right here, south of Hudson Gardens, off of Santa Fe, easy to get to, turn right just after the jewelry repair sign. You go see Jesse and his team, and they'll help you figure out the best way to get into some custom jewelry for that person that you truly love. You share your ideas and expectations. Their in-house designers will listen closely. They'll craft your unique design. They do a computer-aided design. That's CAD. They give you the full feel and layout of it, and they ultimately do a wax prototype of your design. How awesome is that? And then they finally cast it and set it, and you can watch the dude with the fire work his magic right there, because I did that exact same thing. Littleton Jewelry, conveniently located just south of Hudson Gardens. And if you're northbound on 85, it's not just a left turn. You got to flip a very legal, very safe U-turn right about ACC, that Arapahoe Community College, right across from Hudson Gardens, and you head down there. When you poke your head in, tell them you're a 710 listener. They are too. You can also start your journey with them by going to littletonfinejewelry.com. That's littletonfinejewelry.com. When we come back, we'll wrap up our segment with the other callers, texters, and emailers. I'll read through that stuff during our break. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler right back with you here on The George Show on 710 KNUS. Last segment for the day. And we'll be back, of course, Friday talking about all the new information. In fact, you just heard a little story about the Fed coming out and talking about a half point or 50 basis point increase in the interest rate. That'll be something that's worth talking about as well. We are already scheming to have other conversations about things that grow out of the decision by Magistrate Reinhart down in Florida about whether or not to release the affidavit. Listen, if he does, I'll be the first to say I am shocked, but man, we're going to tear that bad boy apart. Hopefully there aren't so many redactions we can't understand it. And then we'll continue the conversations about the other news of the day. There's something that's growing out of Hollywood, too, that I'll have a conversation with about involving a movie that Robert Downey Jr. Made with Jamie Foxx a little bit ago that's having trouble getting out the door. We'll talk about that as well. Listen, when you're in your kitchen, and I think I'm in the kitchen almost more than any other room. Been in the basement a lot lately trying to go through some stuff and trying to figure out why am I a hoarder, but really it's the kitchen when I'm awake. And the thing that I notice the most is it's the counters that really catch my eye every single time. When I go to someone else's house, I start looking at the counters. And since we've been talking about the art of granite with our buddy Mitch Floria, I continue to look more and more when I go into, I even do like tours of model homes. Sometimes I see a house that's for sale and I'll go online and look at Zillow, look at what pictures they put up there. And it's always that countertop that sticks out. And if you want to improve the counter in your house, the kitchen countertop, maybe you're doing a fix and flip. Maybe you bought a house and you've been hanging on to the idea that someday we'll upgrade. Now's the moment to do that. call Mitch Flory at the Art of Granite. And here's why. Magician. Not just an expert businessman and a craftsman, but dude's a magician with the granite, the quartz, and the marble. And you got to go find that out in person. Yes, yes. He's got theartofgranite.com. And you should start there, really, theartofgranite.com. But I say go out to his showroom right there at the corner of about 6th Avenue and I-70. And go out there, introduce yourself to Mitch and his team of long-term employees. He's not a churn 'em and burn 'em employer. This is a guy that wants people for years and years and years on board because of the expertise needed to pull this thing off. You go there, you meet with Mitch, you're going to fall in love with what Mitch can do for your kitchen, for your bathroom. This guy can do it. Here's the deal. Mention KNUS, you get a free bathroom countertop with the purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertop, or you get a kitchen or bathroom sink for free with the purchase of any countertop package. The phone that rings is the one that I saw in his hand. I'm going to say on his hip because it's very 90s, but I really think it's one that he keeps in his pocket. 303-386-5919, 303-586-5919. That's theartofgranite.com. 303-696-1971. That's not Mitch. That's us. You give us a call just like Eric has. Eric, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think?
George, you great American. Thank you for your service.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, sir. Thank you.
I think that it was entirely unfair, young man, that you didn't give Harold enough response. I mean, what? After he was getting to his great Harold, the caller before. Yeah, George.
I remember.
You're sharp as a tack. Because you're a colonel.
The flat side.
You had just didn't give him a chance, a fair chance to respond because he was on point big time.
What was his point?
When he was talking about them woke generals. He was talking about them woke generals. When he was talking to the China people over there.
I don't think Milley's a woke general. His question was, he was objecting to Milley making... Hold on. He was objecting to Milley making the phone call to the Chinese, undercutting the president, and asked me what would happen to me. I explained to him the difference between the chain of command between me and Milley and the president and me and the adjutant general. And then I was answering his question, and you'll recall this, and I know everybody listening does too. Harold kept wanting to talk over the answer. Like, answer the question. I am trying to explain to you the situation, explain it. And at some point, man, we just got to end it, right? That's not good radio.
Okay. Now, with fairness in your heart, and I know the rules that you can only call one time, can Harold come back tomorrow and then finish his point, George Brockler?
Well, Eric, tell me what his point was that he didn't make. You said he was making a point.
You cut him off when... you didn't let him come back.
Hold on. His point was... General Milley should not have called the Chinese to undercut the president's position. And I agreed with that. There was no additional point. That was it. And asked me what would happen to me. And I told him what would happen to me. It would be career ending.
Would you vote for Donald Trump in 2024?
If he is our party,
I'm a black conservative, and I voted for him twice, and I want to hear your answer. Yeah. Would you vote for him again?
If he is our party's nominee, yes.
Okay.
I would.
You great American.
Would you do it too?
Let Harold call again. I mean, break your own rules. Let him call tomorrow, please.
Harold can call in, but Harold's got to stop talking when I start talking, just like you do, man. I mean, you do this thing right. We have a conversation back and forth. And while we're here, Eric, and I don't want to cut you loose too early, what do you think about the release of the affidavit for the search warrant of Mar-a-Lago? Should it be released today, and what do you think is in there?
I think Trump should take I think Trump should take them. Oh my God, George! I think Trump should take all them. I'm not gonna curse. I think they should take all them dudes that are doing this to my great president Donald J. Trump to the Supreme Court. We have to find a way to get them guys out in the open. I'm the Democrats. I'm talking about that shifty shift. I want Chuck Schumer. I want Nancy Pelosi. George, I want them all in the fire in front of Jim Jordan. my brother.
Well,
that's what I want.
And listen, you've named three of the worst, right? Like Schiff and Schumer and Pelosi. I get all that, but when you talk about in relation
Dick
to my
Durbin.
Question,
oh.
Durbin's up there.
Go ahead.
The release of the affidavit for this Mar-a-Lago thing. Do you want it released today? What do you think is inside that affidavit?
I think it's. I don't know. I can't answer that. Whatever it is, it's all no pun intended, as you Caucasians say.
hold on. Only Caucasians.
It's all trumped up.
Only Caucasians say no pun intended. What's the?
You guys all wrote the books. Us black folks didn't write no books until later on.
Eric,
I'm just being facetious.
Eric, what's the African American equivalent of no pun intended?
Well, I just mentioned Trump, and then all of it is trumped up charges on him. That's the greatest president in the whole world to me, George Brockler.
Hey, last thing.
And they're stopping him because they know he won the first time. They're figuring out a way to stop him again. And Brian in Arvada, that's my buddy, and then Jim and all these people, they
Brian's
love you,
Arvada.
George, but don't lose your credibility, man, because we're on your side, my brother.
Eric, let me
we
ask you this.
We love what you did. For the country.
Did you hear the interview with Larry Elder yesterday, and have you seen Uncle Tom, the first one, and then are you going to see the second one?
No, I didn't see neither.
You
I haven't.
Should watch them, and I've told everybody this. You should watch Uncle Tom. I guess it's one now, and two, the second one, we're doing a screening here for free on Monday.
Yes, sir.
Eric, you ought to go onto that website, 710. Go ahead, 710KNUS.com.
Just like Stephen Tubbs, you know.
That's right.
He always say, we don't lie, you know. And then Peter Boyle says, why lie when the truth will do?
Yep.
I have not seen it, and then I'll follow up and do that.
Eric,
thank
you for doing that, man. You got great credibility with us and on this show, even when we disagree. I love hearing your calls. I just want to remind you, too, August 22nd, Monday, we're going to do that screening at the Regal 14 South Glen Cinema out there. There may be tickets available. If you go on that website and find they're not there, let me know so I can stop pushing this thing. But there's going to be a VIP event before. There's going to be questions and answers afterwards. And today, down by that Douglas County Event Center, take the Plum Creek exit, head east a couple lights and get in there. That's the Taste of Douglas County. Stefan will be down there. Mike Boyle will be down there. I'm going to try to bring my belly down there if I can. Billy and I will be back tomorrow. My thanks to Eric Odlin, Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District. We'll do some more of this and you tomorrow. Until then, you've been listening to George Brockler right here on The George Show. It's the mighty 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.